Aggression. Happy Valentine's Day weekend, you guys. It's Pierce, joined by Chris and Rob. We know, if you listen to this show, hopefully you know how to. But even if you don't, we hope you find some way to celebrate this Valentine's Day as best as you can. You know, we know we're in a pandemic, so it's not going to be a lot of restaurants or a lot of any of that. But you know, we got to find a way. Hey, maybe you can surprise your lover with wrestling if they're into that, and if they're not, well, we're trying. We really are. We do have the first of three big shows coming up this month. It is NXT Vengeance Day this Sunday from the Capitol Wrestling Center. Next week, we got Elimination Chamber. And then a week after, I believe it is... Fuck, what's that AEW show called?
Revolution.
Yeah, Revolution.
Yeah, I had that. I was going to add like Revolution Day or something. I don't know why. Anyway, yeah, AEW Revolution is at the end of the month. So we got three straight weeks of shows to be talking about. Should be an exciting month as we really enter the fast lane to WrestleMania in just a bit. Yeah, it should be very exciting. You know, we're acting like we're not gonna get Roman and Edge for fucking whatever reason. Cool, sure. They kind of solidified that on Friday, by the way. I feel like, yeah, you don't have Roman just yell, "Why are you playing games with me?" and not happen. But we'll go through the line this month, and then we also got a week in 2005 to talk about the first Raw and SmackDown in Japan. And like surprisingly, they were really good shows. You know, usually when WWE, at least nowadays, when they go overseas, they go out of the country, out of the continent, really, they start to lack off. But this was a very, very good week in 2005. So, very happy to talk about that. But we start with NXT. It is TakeOver Vengeance Day. Why didn't they just call it Take Valentine? Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah. Insurrection. Whatever. But
well,
you can't put massacre in the title of your show in 2021.
Find a different word than massacre?
Well,
somebody get their thesaurus.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you
could have just called it Vengeance.
You probably could have just called it Vengeance, but it is what it is. I get it. I popped for the old Vengeance logo, though.
Yeah.
The devilish V is kind of cool. I like it. But we got five matches on the card so far. We start off with the triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship. It is Io Shirai defending her belt against Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez. I do not think Io is going to lose until WrestleMania weekend, so I'm going to stick with Io. I have no basis for that. I'm just saying, I think it'd be kind of fucking stupid to take the belt off Io before WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it kind of feels like Mercedes Martinez in this match to take the pin, and
she has,
you know, probably keep Io and Toni going. Unless you're going to call Io up, which they're not, there's no reason to, you know, make a switch right here.
See, I think Io will probably retain. I don't know if it's just because of how my mind is thinking this, but this being a triple threat match definitely has the whole, oh, the champion doesn't have to be pinned to lose the belt kind of thing to it, but it doesn't. I feel like we would probably know if Io's reign was concluding, because she's been one of the most protected wrestlers on that brand since she turned heel 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think, like I said, I think Io's winning. This match definitely intrigues me. It, like you said, Mercedes is definitely there to take the pin. Tony's a bit of a wild card, but I don't think it's time for her yet, because like I said, I think we would know if we were barreling towards that. It doesn't feel like it's going to be the end of it yet.
No, she Tony doesn't feel like she's ready, like, to be the top of the division.
I think she can be, but I think what I'm saying is that they haven't booked her like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
We haven't gone down a situation where it feels like Io is going to lose, but this match is kind of like, okay, maybe it could happen here only because it's a triple threat, but I do think Io retains. And also, this match is going to be very, very good.
Do you think it's the main event?
No, I think Balor and Dunn definitely main event. For a reason that I will go into when we're done talking.
Now, we're going to it now. NXT Championship match, Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor. Finn Balor, why not wasting time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need. It's kind of the same situation where there's no real reason to take the title off him unless you're putting him on Raw, which, I mean, that would be fine. But
would not be fine.
At this point, why are you going to do that?
Wouldn't be fine.
You know, maybe after WrestleMania, you send him back up. But, I mean, you know. And, you know, no offense to Pete Dunne, who is very good, but I don't. It seems like they are definitely teasing that, you know, Walter's going to come at some point, maybe sooner or later.
Thank you.
And that's probably Finn's next match because we never got it last year.
Yeah, my reason for this main eventing, they've been teasing hard that Walter is going to be, you know, arriving to NXT with Imperium. And notably for two things here. Number one, Finn's going to retain. It's no slight to Dunn, but I think Finn and Kyle is the hotter program. Even if they set up the brief blockade here of having Finn against Walter or whatever in April, if they're, because like I said, I don't even know if they're going to be doing a takeover. Maybe they do another TV special Mania week to start things off. You do champion versus champion, because I think Finn Kyle is absolutely the stronger play. It's, again, no offense to Dunn. He's a great worker. This match is going to be awesome, but he's just not the hotter challenger. That's Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And two, with Walter, as someone who watches NXT UK regularly, he has not been on the television show for a really long time now. His last match was against A-Kid, and that was the last time that he was even on the show. That was back in mid-January. It's now mid-February.
Yeah.
So is it possible that Walter right now is in Mexico before heading to Florida? Absolutely. And that's what I think. That's how I think the show is going to end on Saturday night. On Sunday night, rather. Sorry, not Saturday.
He wrestled a kid.
Why?
I think Finn is Finn's the guy. You know, why change it?
Exactly. Why change it? Why waste your time? I do think that him and Walter is intriguing for WrestleMania weekend. my only issue with that is that it keeps Undisputed Era in NXT.
Yeah.
We have to see Kyle win the belt, and that's obviously not, it wouldn't happen at WrestleMania in that scenario, which means we're probably at least getting them staying there through the rest of the year. And it's time. It's time.
You know, just kind of a general NXT question for you two real quick. Do you think that at this point, Karrion Kross has been kind of passed over as getting a lengthy title run? Where
I feel like we've already been set in stone that he's not long for NXT.
Yeah, kind of like Matt Riddle, I think, was, where it's like, oh, he's going to be next to get the belt, and then he just never did, and it ended up.
Well, he did have the belt, and he got hurt. So like, he has the rub of being NXT champion. He doesn't have to have a reign.
Yeah,
that's kind of why I was curious on them bringing him back in the first place. I mean, he is who he is, but it's like he doesn't really need to accomplish anything considering he had the title already. He didn't technically lose it. He had to vacate it because of injury. And, you know, they've brought him back and he's been so strayed away from the main title scene. He's teased that he's going to be around because, you know, you can do that when you're a former NXT champ. But like, yeah. We're definitely long past the point of him getting a long title reign. He's not long for NXT at all whatsoever. The Riddle comparison is actually pretty spot on.
Yeah.
For me, I think. Without the fact that Riddle didn't actually win the title, but the idea of him not being around there for long is accurate.
Good point. Right. Right. Let's go to the singles match for the NXT North American Championship. It's Johnny Gargano defending against Kushida. Johnny.
I have no problem with whoever wins this match because either Kushida is going to win and he's going to have earned himself a title run after, you know, hanging around for a little bit since he got there about a year and a half ago. He's putting good work. He's obviously a great wrestler. He's champ. I have no problem with it. And if Gargano retains it, He's a great wrestler, and also this character and shtick that he's doing is absolutely tremendous.
They have made it work where it's just, it's been great. Yeah, I mean, I don't really care. I'll go with Kushida just because, you know, have a title change on the show.
I will go with Gargano.
I hope that Cameron Grimes gets involved in this title chase next.
I hope they do a fucking ladder match at WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, that would be great.
Or the Wednesday before, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
If they could find a way to get fans in for that would be pretty dope. I don't know where they would hold it. I don't know what other venues are in and around the Orlando area, but that's definitely a match. And there's been rumors that, you know, would you throw the NXT Championship match on the WrestleMania card, which I see no excuse because you had the fucking NXT Women's Championship on the card last year. Remember when they tried to call the NXT Women's Championship the NXT Championship? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
They should also do that again this year, for the record. Putting the women on WrestleMania weekend, for the record.
Yeah.
What match?
No reason not to. You did it. I know of one, but I'm not going to say it.
Like,
You have Io correct.
Io and Candice?
You could. It's not anyone on the NXT brand. You did Io Bailey, considering Bailey's got nothing right now. Yeah. And she doesn't need to be in the SmackDown title scene right now at all whatsoever.
Yeah, me on Io Bailey. I was thinking like strictly NXT. Yeah.
If they waded into that pool again, it would work. And it works for Finn only because of the fact that the main roster has been, the watchers of the main roster have been exposed to him.
That's true.
So if they want to do that deal again, if they want to do it that way, I'd have no issue with it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the two Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Finals. The winner of the women's tournament will receive a future WWE Women's Tag Team title shot, currently held by Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. We have Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez taking on Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. This is a classic I don't care match. I'm just going to go Dakota and Raquel. I don't, you know, I already don't really care much for Ember. It is what it is. I like Shotzi, but like them as a pair, no, I'm good.
You know, the thing on Ember, it's weird that they brought her back to a lot of kind of hype and then didn't really do anything with it.
I mean, with all due respect, what were you expecting?
Well, I know you don't like Ember, but
hold on. I like Ember, but I can recognize title
match.
I mean, that was sort of the tease, but I mean, you brought her back and then you also brought Tony back simultaneously.
Yeah.
And to be fair to Tony, she's kind of outdone her promo wise.
Yeah. But I guess the thing for me is like, okay, but you can't do one single fucking throwaway match. With
they could have had her Thiva title TV title match. I wouldn't have had a problem with that at all whatsoever. Yeah, but like, her
come in and do jack shit. She was basically there to come in and be the face that Tony turns on. Besides that, what has she done? She's not really providing anything to NXT. And the whole point of her going back to NXT was that she couldn't provide shit on Raw. And I feel bad because it's definitely shitting on her right now. Like, it is what it is. I can't even joke around and say, oh no, I'm not shitting on Ember Moon. But the fact of the matter is, she wasn't really popping on Raw or SmackDown. The point was to come back to NXT, heat her up so when she's ready to go back to Raw or SmackDown, she can be that bitch. But she's not that on NXT because they didn't put her in the position to. They literally had her come in, like you said, with Tony. She can't even get a fucking title rub. Now all of a sudden, she's latched on to Shotzi. Shotzi's going to be bigger than her.
Oh, yeah.
You can look across. Definitely Raquel is going to be bigger than her.
Yes.
Yep.
And Dakota? I like Dakota more than I like Ember. Even though, like, Dakota, I've always kind of had a pull, and you know, I've always gone in different ways with Dakota, but she's the person in this match I care about the least. I don't know if I feel like it's halfway her, halfway the Fed. You know, yeah.
But I agree.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Because it's a situation where she falls victim to the fact that there are just so many talented women on that roster that someone has to play the role of, okay, you're in here, you're going to be a great worker, but that's about it.
Yeah.
That's just how the cookie wound up crumbling for her. I think it was unfortunate that they decided to bring them both back at literally the exact same time. They definitely could have staggered that better.
Yeah.
In hindsight, they absolutely should have staggered that a lot better.
I mean, even with that being said, I think, you know, if you have Ember and Shotzi win this and then maybe even win the tag titles, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's a good way to kind of heat them up a little bit more.
See, before they announced that this was going to be for a future women's tag team title shot, I thought it was a lock that Dakota and Raquel were going to win because I thought that they were setting up to just have another accolade for Raquel to give her to go in and, you know, challenge Io for the women's title. Now they have this title shot, even if it says it's just for a future title shot, I really cannot see Dakota and Raquel winning this because I just don't see them as being, you know, the next in line for the championships because I don't think Naomi and Lana are beating Shayna and Nia Jax. Now, could I see Ember and Shotzi facing Shayna and Nia? Absolutely. I could see that on TV. Hell, I could see it happening on Fastlane. Ember's a familiar face that main roster watchers also know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And Shotzi's an emerging, burgeoning wrestler who's been in the Royal Rumble match the past 2 years.
Yeah, she's been
trying to put her in a successful position. You might as well.
Yeah.
So now that was a wrinkle that was like, okay, you can throw that in there, fine. And also, if they do it right, they can do a couple of different things here. They can have Ember and Shotzi win and, you know, put them in a good position. They can have them pin Dakota, and then Raquel can get mad. You can dissolve those two because you need to at this point, because otherwise Dakota's going to be second fiddle to Raquel, and Dakota's better than being a second fiddle to somebody. And then you can bring Dakota up to the main roster, get another woman out of there so that you can reload and have someone else in her role, and let Raquel just do the singles work that I know that they're planning on doing with her. And you don't have to have Dakota anchored under. Because like I said, I think Dakota is way, way too good to be anybody's anchor or anybody's second fiddle.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like it wasn't known that they were going to go with Raquel when they put the two together. Like, to me, the thought was Raquel was just going to be the diesel. And like,
mm-hmm.
Over time, things happen. Raquel improves. She also found a nice little man, and she's in a good position. I don't think that her and Dakota really need to be together anymore. But hey, I do feel that it might be time for Shotzi. Shotzi can be someone that doesn't need a championship in NXT or NXT Women's Championship to be hot. She has the tools to go up to the main roster and be cool. And something I just found funny. So obviously, Shotzi was originally supposed to be on the last incarnation of Tough Enough back in 2015. But she had a regular heartbeat, so she had to be replaced. Do you remember who replaced her?
I do not.
Gabby Castrovinci, who moved on to TNA, where she was known as Raquel. So...
Up
against Raquel again.
Just a damn.
Wow. That's
wild.
I know that. That is wild.
Yeah. In the Men's Dusty Classic, final match we got here, we have MSK, Wesley, and Nash Carter, formerly known as Desmond Xavier, and another guy. And Grizzle Young Veterans, James Drake and Zach Gibson. This is a really good fucking match because MSK just goes all over the place. And Grizzle Young Veterans, when they are at their best, are two really good throwback heels. I'm going to go with MSK because I think MSK is on a fast track to an NXT champ. By the way, winner gets an NXT tag team title match. I think MSK is on the fast track to that. Who are the champions right now?
Birch and Lorcan.
Oh, yeah. They're fucking them up. Yeah, no, it's a wrap.
Yeah. I'm going to go with MSK as well. They've been really entertaining. I didn't really know who they were before 3 weeks ago, so They've won me over.
Zachary Wentz. There we go.
Saw someone say yesterday that Grizzled Young Veterans are on a 2017 revival run, so I am against the Grizzled Young Veterans now because that's insane.
Well, hold on. I think what that was, you know, they're when they're at their peak, that they're that good. And I think they all
agree.
They proved themselves last year in the Dusty Classic run. They proved themselves again this year in the Dusty Classic run. They're a very, very, very good tag team. And Gibson is great on the mic. But as far as this match goes, I think it's MSK. I had no prior experience watching. I knew who they were. I had no prior experience watching them. They're awesome. And it's very clear that they're getting a monster push because they debuted only a few weeks ago as it's, you know, a mystery team in this. And they're already in the finals on a takeover. That tells me everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are two guys who I came to know on the independent scene. Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz were teaming up on first WrestleMania weekend I was at. They were teaming up at a CZW show. I think this was the they had started teaming up a couple years earlier, but there was them two against Trey Miguel and Myron Reed at the CZW show WrestleMania weekend. I'll never forget that. And then being able to see Grizzled Young Veterans in progress a few times. They're fucking amazing. Now both of them can go at each other on the NXT stage in a Dusty Cup. I think this is dope. I think, you know, just continuing on with the lineage of the Dusty Cup. Like, we've gotten so used to the winners of the tournament being hodgepodge teams. First ones were Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. The second one, Authors of Pain, cool, sure. They were the only really choice, and they're not even around anymore. 2018, it was Kyle and Adam Cole, technically Adam Cole and Roddy Strong. The whole point of that final was just to do the swerve to make it a four-man UE. Then you had Aleister Black and Ricochet, and then you had the Broserweights. So that'll be funny. I forgot that Grizzled Young Veterans were in the finals last year. So that'll be the Utah Jazz of this thing. But you know, I think it's very refreshing to see two tag teams who are established. They've been working together for years, and now here they are with the opportunity to not only win the Dusty Cup, but really stake a claim towards their future within the company. I'm really looking forward to that match on Sunday. That's going to be, to me, that might be the match of the night.
I agree. And also, for the record, we talked about Kyle and Undisputed Era. This is the first takeover since TakeOver Brooklyn 3 in 2017, where there are no matches for the Undisputed Era. And if you want to get technical about it, this is going to be the first takeover, as long as they don't show up, which I don't think there's an avenue for them to anyway. If they don't show up, this is the first takeover without any appearance from Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, or Kyle O'Reilly since the first takeover Chicago in May 2017. And finally, it's the first takeover since the first takeover Toronto in 2016 to not feature one of either Adam, Bobby, Kyle, or Roderick Strong.
So Roderick Strong really had like three straight fucking takeovers.
He was on he was in at TakeOver San Antonio. He faced Andrade. And then at TakeOver Orlando, he faced let me see here, because it was a big like hodgepodge match, six or eight man tag. It was Sanity, which of course was Wolf, Young, Dane, and Nikki Cross against Cassius Ohno, Roddy, Ruby Riott, and Ty Dillinger. What an eight-man tag!
I definitely don't remember that. Holy fuck! That led off. Holy fuck! I didn't care.
Yeah,
about that.
That led off the show. Well, yeah,
because some of the earlier takeovers have just wild matches.
Yeah, they really off. Do. it really did. And then at TakeOver Chicago, Roddy led off against Eric Young. So
that I remember. We could have done away with all of those, but
also, this is Two more things. This is Dakota Kai's sixth takeover. That's the most takeovers by any woman who hasn't won the NXT Women's Championship. Fifth, or with five, was Nikki Cross, as well as, I believe, I think Bianca had four. And I think Nikki Cross had five, and she was the only one with five. Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
Alrighty. Let's go back to the year 2005. We are on our way to Japan, where we have the first ever Raw and SmackDown emanating from the land of the rising sun. Like I said, they were two really good shows. I guess WWE had to put their foot in it for the first time in Japan. Did they ever go back? I feel like they went back in like 07.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure
this is the only ones. Yeah.
Because obviously they do their world tours and whatnot, but it was this, and then the next time that they broadcasted anything that was technically live
was
Beast in the East. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the last time.
Okay, now when did they go to Germany?
They did an NXT show. Yeah, because they did, like, I think they did Italy in 07.
Well, because that's where Santino debuted.
For Santino, but I thought they did Germany.
I know Germany was in the, 97. I think 1997.
Yeah, it was 97, yeah.
Germany,
I thought they ended up doing Germany in 05, 06. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, so, yeah, I find it odd that they don't do a Raw or SmackDown in Japan. It seems like a perfect place to just go and do a tape show. But hey, you know, hopefully in the near future we get more shows in Japan. I know there's been the rumors of WWE or NXT Japan starting up. It'd be super dope to get those Japanese super shows, because this was pretty cool. Especially the matches that you had on both of these cards. They loaded up on star power for these shows.
Oh, they did. They absolutely did.
Yeah, they did.
And before we get underway, just a quick little sports update for 05. The day before, of course, was Super Sunday. The New England Patriots beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And with that, they became the first team since the 97 and 98 Denver Broncos to repeat as Super Bowl champions. And that, of course, still holds up after the Bucks beat the Chiefs this past weekend.
That's fucking crazy. Think about that. 16 years ago, Tom Brady was winning his third championship, and he was like 27. He had no idea what avocado ice cream is. He's still eating Rocky Road. And then here we are 16 years later, and he's winning number 7. Like,
and getting drunk and throwing the Lombardi trophy across the...
People made a big fucking deal out of that, and I'm like, dog, really I'm Tom fucking Brady. I got 7 of these.
For whatever reason, people were making such a big deal about him being drunk. Like, oh, you've never seen a drunk person before?
Yeah, you've never been carried out of a day party before, okay? That's one of the things I missed most since this pandemic started. Yeah. I cannot wait for me to be Jesus walked out of a fucking establishment at 3 in the afternoon because I've been sloshed since 8, okay?
Yeah. Well, the other one was...
Leave Tom alone!
Okay. The other one was today that, like, oh, he has, you know, knee soreness or whatever. He's fucking 43 and just played a full season of football. Oh, my God,
Tom Brady, he's having minor knee surgery. He might be done, you guys. it might be a wrap. He's washed. It's incredibly insane to me that he's still out here winning championship. I remember... being fucking pissed at Super Bowl, because like I could not, and I rooted for the Patriots the year before, but I wanted T.O. to win his Super Bowl so bad. Like, the man played on a broken ankle, and he was arguably the best player on the field that night. You can say whatever you want about Deion Branch. T.O. was the fucking guy in that game on a broken fucking leg.
Yeah, Owens went for 9 catches for 122 yards, as I recall.
Crazy.
I had 11 for like 130 something, but I mean, geez.
Did you see the other day that he tweeted about Donovan McNabb being drunk too? So funny. He's just not letting that die, which I appreciate.
He tweeted at Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah, that might have been the day that my Donovan hate really started. I understand the nerves of the puking and all of that, but Yeah. And the stories that have come out in the years since, Donovan's been looking like a real dick for how he handled that situation with T.O., for how he handled, you know, the fallout from the Super Bowl. So, and it sucks because, yeah, you know, he's a Southside guy. I should want to like Donovan McNabb, but nah, T.O. all day. So yeah, great, great moment. That's also Junior Seau's first and only championship. Ronnie Harrison, I believe. No, Ronnie Harrison has two because he was on the squad
before, I believe. Harrison was on 38 and then 39. Yeah. Then one last sports update, playing their first game of three in 6 days. Illinois basketball defeated Indiana by the score of 60-47 in Champaign. They would play two games later that week, and of course they would win both those games.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
So glad that we have to go through this Illinois. It is good because it's the greatest college basketball team to never win the championship. Fuck Kentucky. But like, it's just gonna end in pain. All pain, nothing but pain.
Yeah. And then we do have some WWE news as well. Rock has been shy about saying his contract expired, saying that he was done last year. And even though they're getting into making their own movies, he has no real interest in being in them, which, I mean, that worked out for him.
Yes. So,
totally fine. You know, I mean, they were having some bullshit come out anyway. So,
yeah, I mean,
what was he doing around this time? Because he would have been just wrapping up the filming of Doom, right?
Yeah, because it was early 2005. It would probably be.
Right now I'm trying to figure out when did production end on Doom. Yeah, 2000. He was cast in September 2004, so it might have been still. Winter 04 in Prague. So yeah, I would assume he would have been filming Doom at this time. It would have been too early for Southland Tales and the other movie. So.
Yeah, because he was in Be Cool, which was early in 05, and in March. Actually, it's next month, March 4th. Yeah. And then Doom, of course, would come out in October as a premiere, and then it would be released on October 21st.
Yeah. So this SmackDown is the last we're going to see Amy Weber, because when they went to Japan, they saw that she was on a flyer for a gentleman's club because of a modeling picture she took, and the gentleman's club ended up with it, and then the locker room found it, and she just couldn't handle the hazing from it, so that all kind of sucks.
Old Boys Club, 2005, still not good. I hope Amy Weber's doing well. Chicago area, I believe?
Yeah, I think she was.
Yeah.
Peoria.
Yes. And then we have a lawsuit between Brock Lesnar and WWE hitting the courts in Connecticut because his non-compete clause is unreasonable and unenforceable because they said for 6 years or whatever he couldn't wrestle or do Ultimate Fighting, which, I mean, they have no real basis, as we'll find as this goes forward. But they're also open to a reunion if it comes to that, which it eventually will.
Yeah, eventually will.
But I think he does talk with him over the summer, though, because the rumor is that he's going to face Batista. And
the rumor was that he was going to show up and to attack Batista or whatever, because that's why they made Batista versus JBL no holds barred.
Yeah.
Because a few days before that, if I recall correctly, there was that was in January, I think. It was in January 06 when they came to the settlement.
Yeah,
because that's when they posted that on WWE.com.
And that's when he goes to New Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so just a couple news hits for this week, and now we can get into Raw.
Indeed.
From the Satayama Super Arena. I don't know why they didn't get the Tokyo Dome.
I mean, it's the Tokyo Dome. Yeah. It's a huge... You can't run the Tokyo Dome for Raw and SmackDown, because it's like... I know they used to run like Sky Dome and the Georgia Dome, that's but true. it's a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Eric Bischoff opens the night with an interpreter. Says he's the GM of Raw, one of those powerful men in wrestling history. The fans.
I thought the amusing thing was they cheered Bischoff, but they booed the translator.
Yeah. Yeah. Says it'll be a historic night. Announces Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Edge, Triple H, and Chris Benoit against Chris Jericho in a submission match, which we're going to start with right now. Let me tell you, these fans are great.
They are.
They're real into the show.
Yeah, really they awesome. Were real into. They were
and not they're into the show like Raw after WrestleMania. We're hijacking. No.
Yeah.
They're into the show like they are locked into every move, everything. They were awesome. Come back, please. Go back to Japan.
Between this and the Puerto Rico crowd at New Year's Revolution, we've gotten some good crowds over the last stuff.
Yes, no, we have. We really have.
International crowds over the last, you know, 2 months.
Yeah. Benoit ends up winning with
start going places where fucking you don't go a lot.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Benoit ends up winning with the crossface, so you know they'll keep their little rivalry going, I guess. Ric Flair tells Triple H that they run the world, even in Japan. Tonight, all three of them will be victorious. Triple H says the more he thinks about it, maybe he was wrong to tell Batista to go to SmackDown. Triple H against Batista would be one of the best matches in the history of WrestleMania. It's not, but Rick says Batista going to SmackDown is smarter, and then Triple H agrees. And after he finishes beating Edge, he's going to tell Batista to jump ship. Triple H is going back and forth here.
He is. We get Christian being interviewed by a Japanese journalist, and they come across Stacy. He asks Stacy if she knew where he can interview Randy Orton, because Christian's an annoying little prick. Said that Randy was one headshot away from ending his career. Not cool. He told Stacy to tell Randy to face him later on tonight, and then Christian tells Tomko that Tomko can face Orton tonight because he has an idea.
Yeah. We go on to Batista against Maven. Maven says the question in everyone's mind from the Royal Rumble is, why wasn't Maven in the Rumble? It's not. If he was, he would have won it. He would have eliminated Batista.
Huh. Interesting.
Batista comes out and beats him in like 30 seconds. And then as he's celebrating, we get a video of the Big Show saying that Batista's a big fish in a small pond on Raw. If he goes to SmackDown, he'll be swimming with a shark.
And Batista wants to know why this keeps happening. Who's playing these weird videos?
Yeah.
And Bischoff told him that he has his word and he's going to get to the bottom.
Yeah.
So then we go to a tag team match between William Regal and Tajiri, who is well, well beloved here in Japan, of course.
Yes.
Against La Resistance for the World Tag Team titles. Regal executed and exercised his rematch clause, and obviously has to use Tajiri here because Eugene is hurt. And while the referee was distracted, Savan went to Tajiri with the flag. Tajiri dodged it, spat the mist, and hit a buzzsaw kick. And we have new World Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, you're going to make it so the tag titles don't really matter. So it doesn't matter when you make a change like this. And they're going to do it on SmackDown in a couple weeks, too. So, and it kind of helps things along. And this was a good moment. We see the first American-born sumo champion ringside, Aki Bono. So... that's fun.
It is.
Ric Flair against Shawn Michaels. I mean, it was good. It obviously they've had a better match.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Michaels wins with sweet chin music and kind of just is what it is.
Yeah.
Triple H tells Batista that the SmackDown guys are laughing at him and taunting him. He knows that Triple H and Batista would be the biggest match in the history of WrestleMania, but it would actually be for the best if he went to SmackDown because he could shut everyone's mouth and Evolution could run the business.
There goes Triple H teeter-tottering again.
Yes.
Coach interviewed Edge about getting his shot, and Edge is still mad that everyone is talking about Batista instead of him. He said that the big story of the night will be him leaving with the World Heavyweight Championship. We go to Randy Orton versus Tyson Tomko. Orton is still working with a concussion. This match is sort of uncomfortable to watch for that reason, because it's just a total acting job, and it's really weird. Orton eventually fights through and wins with a roll-up. However, Christian and Tomko beat him up afterwards, and Christian hits the Unprettier on him right to the head.
Yeah. Not great.
It's not. It's really not.
You know who they didn't bring to Japan is Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if his bit doesn't really translate to over there, really probably.
Translate over there. That's probably why.
Yeah.
The show was better without him. Well, that's true. Let's be honest. The show was much better to wade through without him. Besides that weird American fashion show thing that they did.
Yeah.
Which I just totally skipped.
It's time for Edge against Triple H for the World Heavyweight title. Edge accidentally spears the ref and covers Triple H, but there's no ref. Ric Flair comes in with a chair, but he gets speared. Edge gets the chair and Triple H avoids it. They're both going for the chair, but Batista pulls it out of the ring. Edge argues with Batista, and Triple H pushes Edge into him. Then Edge goes for a spear, but Batista comes in for the spinebuster. Then Triple H hits Pedigree, and Batista raises Triple H's arm, but stares at the title. It's good storytelling. It's good stuff.
It's a good match, too.
Yeah.
It's a good match.
Really good match. I don't think Triple H and Edge have really locked up that much, even though the past year. So just to get them in a championship match here was really cool. And then, you know, just the drawing out of Batista wanting to challenge Triple H, I think it's been amazing. We still have another couple of weeks before the official thumbs up, thumbs down reveal, but this has just been great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, they started it in, like, October, November, too. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. Like,
we've been building this very, very nicely. And Batista's clearly ready for it, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's big time at this point. So, before we go to SmackDown, there's one or two tidbits here that I wanted to talk about. Boston College was 20-0 until they walked into South Bend to take on Notre Dame, who upended them to snap their undefeated streak. So right now, of course, the only unbeaten team in college basketball.
Boston College. Who would have been on that squad?
That was Craig Smith and Jared Dudley and Sean Marshall.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting any of those.
Yeah. Were you thinking of Troy Bell?
I was. But Troy Bell was like 2001, right?
Yeah, he was. I think he was a year or two before this team. Yeah, that was Jared Dudley.
Okay. Troy Bell. I think Troy Bell won the Big East Player of the Year twice.
He did. Because he was a really prodigious scorer.
Yeah.
So you know, Illinois, they would go on and beat Michigan in Ann Arbor that week, and also beat Wisconsin on Saturday. Duke beat North Carolina that week on Wednesday, February 9th, 71-70.
You know, the funny thing is I had no idea they were playing on Saturday. And I'm like, I intentionally tweeted, yeah, congratulations, Damien, on the Tar Heels winning. It was like 10 minutes left. And then immediately Duke came back and made it a two-point game. They still lost, but I'm like, I don't care. Like, both of these teams suck. Who gives a fuck? It's pandemic college basketball. Has there been anything worse than I know you guys cover it, but like, there's been nothing worse than pandemic.
No, it's been bad. Basketball.
It's been bad.
Because you get games that start at like 3 Central on like a Thursday for no reason. There's no fans, obviously. Like, none of the offenses have gotten in check even to this point, really.
It's
not good. The tournament's not going to be good.
It's going to be a drag. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Also, UConn would play UNC that weekend in a random non-conference game because they had a series going on back then, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
But UNC wound up winning 77-70. And also, in the world of wrestling, TNA had a pay-per-view against all odds. That took place on February 13th. It was headlined by an NWA World Heavyweight title match with Jeff Jarrett beating Kevin Nash.
Hell yeah.
Also, AJ Styles won a 30-minute Iron Man match with Christopher Daniels, 2-1. Let's see if there's anything additional here. DDP and Monty Brown beat the team of Bobby Roode and Eric Young, representing Team Canada. In a number one contender's Full Metal Mayhem match, Abyss beat Jeff Hardy. James Storm and Chris Harris, AMW, beat Kid Cash and Lance Hoyt to retain the NWA World Tag Team titles. Raven beat Dustin Rhodes. BG James and Jeff Hammond, for some reason, beat Kazarian and Michael Shane. And then Primetime Elix Skipper beat Petey Williams in the opener to earn the number one contendership for the X Division title.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good show.
And it's a pretty decent show.
Okay, to SmackDown.
Yes.
We open with Eddie Guerrero against Kenzo Suzuki, and I'm pretty sure they shipped Eddie's car to Japan.
That sounds about right.
I mean, unless, you know, they found a lowrider in Japan, which they might
have. It's possible.
But the crowd doesn't like Kenzo, and he is real upset about it.
And they are over the moon to hear Eddie. I don't know if they piped in those cheers, but they were pretty over the moon to see.
Well, you know, Eddie and Jericho and Benoit all worked in Japan. Yeah, I mean, you know, Eddie gets the win with the frog splash. So
fun little opener.
Yeah. Kurt Angle tells Luther Reigns and Mark Jindrak it's a big night for all three of them. Angle's facing Ray, and they're facing the Bastion for the tag titles. Luther makes sure to note that he's not afraid of the Undertaker and doesn't care about the Undertaker.
He went on some spiel about how he's had like more blood on his hands or whatever. Like, I don't know. It was a weird little.
Yeah, they really wanted you to know that Luther Reigns was in jail for a long time. So they took all like the Nathan Jones stuff and just gave it to Luther Reigns instead. You know. So yeah, we get to Luther and Jindrak against the Bastion for the tag titles. Midway through the match, the Undertaker's gong hits and the lights go out. And when they come back on, he's in the ring. I can't believe they actually got him to go to Japan.
Why wouldn't
he? He's not on SmackDown every week. I mean, not, the Heidenreich stuff, he's doing pre-tapes and stuff.
Still a big deal.
Yeah. Luther shoves Jindrak at Undertaker and then leaves the ring, and Undertaker beats him up.
Yes, and then we move on. JBL, he's concerned about his barbed wire steel cage match with Big Show. It's going to hurt, and he's going to get cut to shreds. That doesn't even account for the fact that he has to be in there with the Big Show. And if Theodore Long wants to do something drastic to JBL, JBL is going to do something drastic to Big Show and shoot him with the tranquilizer gun again. He gives it to Amy Weber, who backs up to the door just as Orlando Jordan is going in and shoots the gun, and the dart goes into JBL's neck.
Yeah, I mean, gun safety is important. Yofudaki against Chavo Guerrero for the Cruiserweight title, and they got some time.
They did. They got some time.
Yeah, crowd's really into Funaki. I mean, it was cool. Funaki retained, and yeah, they're real happy about it.
Yep. And then Carlito was backstage telling security guard that the reason Theodore Long isn't there is because of him. JBL came up to him and made fun of his hair, calling him the Chia Pet. Carlito heard JBL got shot with a tranquilizer, and JBL said that he's fine. He's not. Jordan came up and said that he's been looking for JBL and wants to make sure he's all right. JBL says that he's fine, and Jordan is going to go have his match, and JBL should stay put. JBL yelled at a guard, and a giant inflatable Godzilla. Because of course.
Yes. We get John Cena against Orlando Jordan in our first round of WWE number one contender action.
Now, why couldn't John Cena acquire a Sadaharu O jersey?
I think that would have been cool.
Instead of the John Hanna stuff. Like, no one cares about the Patriots out there. I know they just won the
Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl, man.
I know, but come on.
Roll Tide.
I guess.
Yeah, Cena wins with the FU, and he's moving on to face Booker T next week.
Yes. Should be a big one.
Orlando goes to the back, wants to know where JBL went, because no one in the cabinet can find him. That's not great.
It's not.
Tori beat Hiroko in a kimono match. JBL comes out with the huge inflatable Godzilla. Says JBL stands for Just Beat a Lizard. This is actually really good.
This is really funny.
A lot of nonsense. JBL ends up without his pants.
He likes pizza.
Big Show comes out and says, JBL says he'll leave Big Show and Godzilla to talk. But then JBL suddenly snaps out of his trance and beats up Big Show.
It was a ruse.
Yeah. The cabinet comes and joins in, but Big Show fights back and chokeslams Orlando Jordan and the Bashams as JBL retreats. So,
and then during JBL's, the break, JBL's segments have always been better than his matches. So
yeah.
Yes, very much so. And then during the break, Big Show said that there's one man in Japan who can relate to being a giant, and that's Akebono.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure it's going to be fine, but it's weird that they couldn't get a bigger celebrity for Los Angeles.
Was this really, like, the best that they can do for Big Show? Like, this had to contribute to Big Show just being like, yeah, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Well,
I wonder if, and this is just me speculating aloud, it probably has nothing to do with it. I wonder what happens if Shaq does stay
in LA. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
If, like, Shaq stays in LA, do they do, well, actually, that would be in the midst of a playoff
run. Yeah. Not even, it would be right before Lakers, it, so it wouldn't even happen. Nah, it would.
Yeah, do the Lakers even do anything in 04-05?
No,
but yeah, but probably, obviously, if the Lakers have Shaq and Kobe, they're not going to be a team that misses the playoffs. So,
but even still, you could have gotten like who was someone big in 2005?
You don't even need a fucking celebrity. Just have the Big Show be the Big Show. Why does he have to go fight? Go do a sumo match because Big Show in a fucking sumo tard is funny. Nah, man. Like, Yeah. It was so pointless, and it was a waste of time for that pay-per-view. Nobody in America knows who the fuck Akebono is. Not a single fucking soul. Ask wrestling fans today if they remember who Akebono is. No, they do not, unless they're hardcore like that.
Yeah, he wrestled Brock for the IWGP title.
Who gives a shit?
I actually did not know that.
Yeah.
You know how many fucking people in New Japan they just gave championships to just for the fuck of it? Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
It's time for Kurt Angle against Rey Mysterio. And you know what? It was probably as good as their SummerSlam match.
This is a really, really, really good match.
Yeah, I mean,
like, really good.
I like Rey going for the 619 right away, and you know, Angle getting out of the way.
There were two false finishes in this match that just made me yelp.
Yeah,
Kurt does a 2.95 kick out on both of them. One of them came after Rey hit like a running Hurricane Rana on Kurt, and then he went for the pin, and it just took until the last possible millisecond for Angle to pop that shoulder up. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, Rey hit the 619 a couple times, but couldn't, you know, connect the West Coast pop as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Angle would powerbomb him or whatever. And then Angle would go for the Angle Slam and Rey would slip out. And then eventually he would hit one, do the ankle lock. And once he finally locked it in, he made sure to grapevine it. And
yep.
Rey tapped. So Kurt Angle is going to the final in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
It's a fucking amazing match. Such a good match. Par for the course is Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio. Like, when if Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio ever had a bad match, but yeah, no. Delivered. Very much delivered. And Rob, as you pointed out on Twitter, this is kind of this, I don't want to say it's a start, but it's a continuation of what's going to be a very good first half for Kurt Angle. I don't really much remember the back half besides that 30-minute Iron Man match, but
yeah. Well, because he goes to Raw and works Eugene.
Well, and then the Cena stuff is just okay.
Yeah.
And is more remembered for the crowd reactions than the actual matches themselves.
That's true.
Because at this point, we'll get to that.
Just had sex. Yes.
I'll have words about the crowds back. Well, yeah, and yeah, he does the Charmel and bestiality stuff.
Yeah, but up until like that match with Eddie on SmackDown in Rosemont, he's just on a going tear. Off all year. Yeah. And I'm excited to see the Jannetty match again because I remember it being pretty good. All things considered,
yeah.
Do we have a King of the Ring? Is anybody worthy of it?
Tajarian William Regal?
Yeah, probably Tajarian Regal.
They won the tag titles.
They got probably the biggest pop of the week, too.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? Anything else before we head on out?
No, I don't think so. I think we kind of covered everything here. It's nice. We had a couple light weeks in a row.
Next week is going to be pretty hellacious.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, actually, will it be that hellacious?
No, it'll be fine.
I mean, most of our pay-per-view prediction
shows... I still won't get through it to the last minute, so yeah.
Yeah, well, they've been very predictable anyway, too, so...
Yeah, no, I can, like, not pay attention during Chavo and Funaki, you know. It's good to know that. True. All right, I'm at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobOneal31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Me and Chris do something called the WWE Top 25. It's over on our Patreon, patreon.com/barberschairnet. $10 will get you that, plus all the episodes of Summer Sessions, all of Cinema with the Guides. Season 2 of Sopranos is up there right now on the Patreon. On the main feed, the guys are paying attention to WandaVision. I just popped the melatonin. So we'll see what time in the morning I wake up buku fuck early to watch both WandaVision and Judas and the Black Messiah. I'm going to be dead at work tomorrow, but you know what? It's all for the greater good. It's all for the greater good. But yeah, man, be a $10 subscriber to the Patreon. You know, a lot of you like $5 subscribers, and that's cool and all, but you know, don't you hate being a broke bitch? I would hate being a broke bitch. Like, really, you know, what good is that extra venti Cafe Americano from Starbucks, right? Do you really need that? Fuck no. You can make coffee at home. You can just go get a box of Cafe Bustelo and make that shit at home. That other $5 you can give to us so you can get everything on the Patreon, and you can also support us. And another way that you can support us is giving us 5 stars wherever you listen to us, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you do that. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a comment. It will boost us up the algorithms, and more people can listen, and then that means more money for us, and then that means we can do more things. It means we're more motivated. It means we don't really have to work 8-hour days for 40 hours a week. I'm fucking tired. Help me get to where I want to be, please, please. Anyway, we hope you guys enjoy all the wrestling this week. Enjoy Vengeance Day. We'll be back next week where we will not only preview Elimination Chamber and give predictions for the big show, we will also look back at No Way Out 2005 from HSB Arena. This is not the Paints. That's right, it's still the Pelon Arena. This is before they moved to the PPG Paints Arena. Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm. Mellon Arena. That's right. God, I have some classic shows at Mellon. God, love Mellon. 95 SummerSlam. I mean, that's, I know. Hey, Diesel and Maven. It's a shit show. You know, it has a special place in my heart. So anyway, the Mellon in Pittsburgh for next week's No Way Out should be a good one. Hope you guys tune in for that show and for all the shows that we got coming up on this road to not only WrestleMania 37, but WrestleMania 21. Pretty good one. We'll see you guys next week on Ruthless Aggression. Take it easy.